one and two and reach and reach and two and three and feel the burn. Come on, girls, feel the burn. Feel it all the way down, down to Comedy-O-Rama.
Comedy-O-Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Honest and True Memoirs of a Non-Entity, Episode 5, The Death of Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Here's a bit of swill for you to drink, Mr. Holmes, if that's your real name.
I won't drink it. I won't.
Drink it, all right. On account of that's all you'll be getting to drink for the next week.
I'm not thirsty. I'm not.
You will be, me bucko. You will be.
You better drink it, or else they will beat you.
Sherlock Holmes, the world's greatest consulting detective, does not drink swill.
Believe me, you'll get used to swill faster than you'll get used to a beating. Let me tell you, oh yes indeed. I know I did.
So, you won't drink your swill, eh?
Sherlock Holmes, the world's greatest detective, does not drink swill.
So you think you're Sherlock Holmes?
But I am Sherlock Holmes.
You're the third fella we had in here this week what thinks he's Sherlock Holmes. Well, just because you're a loony don't makes no never mind. Either you drinks your swill, or you gets a beating.
Leave me alone! Get your hands off my desk!
You don't! Well, eh?
Now what have you got to say?
Would you pass me the swill?
How did the great detective end up in a Bombay prison cell in 1893? In order to answer that complex question, I must go back to 1891... It all began when I, Dr. John H. Watson, devised a rather clever plot in order to increase the dwindling sales of my books at the expense of my dear friend who shared my lodgings at 221B Baker Street, London. Are you all packed for your holiday abroad, Holmes?
Yes, Watson. I've sent for Billy the page boy. He'll bring my bags down to the carriage. Then it's off to the moors for a well-deserved rest at the home of my dear friend Charles Baskerville. From there, I'll be off to India via a steamer. Are you sure you don't need me here?
No, my dear fellow. I shall be quite busy putting the finishing touches on our latest adventure.
What is it called?
The Final Problem.
Sounds exciting. Do I come off well in it?
I portray you as the master of all evildoers that you are, Holmes.
May I sneak a peek at it?
You may read all about it when you return from your holiday.
The suspense will be killing me the whole time I'm away.
Yes, I'm quite sure of that.
That's Billy. Enter, O young but very wise and tactful page.
I've come to take you away, Mr. Holmes.
You sound as if I wasn't ever coming back.
It is a fantasy of mine.
I don't know what you mean, dear Billy.
Are you kidding? With you out of the picture, maybe there'd be more room in them books for me. It ain't easy being bitter when you're only 8 years old.
Billy, I never knew any of this.
I've got no personal grudge against you, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, call me Sherl.
Isn't it time for you to leave, Sherl?
Well, Sherl, there was a time or two when you made it known you was fond of me, a snivelling street urchin, but you arranged for no scholarship.
I didn't even know you could read.
Oh, I could read all right, between the bloody lines. It's no great jumping up and down pleasure being an incidental character, let me tell you right off.
But, Billy, do show some appreciation. If it weren't for my giving you a small role in the adventures, you'd be out on the street with the rest of the Baker Street irregulars. As it is now, I personally arranged for you to have free digs down on the corner.
I know. And they're demolishing the hotel I'm in day after tomorrow. Disease-ridden. That's why you got me in for half-right. The rats left 2 days ago. There's one sick rat still there. I'd give blood for it before I come over here.
The price you pay for not being interesting enough to be a pivotal character, Billy.
I was pivotal enough to help Shirley find the bloody Mazarin stone.
I never wrote that one. A complete forgery.
You mean to tell me the only chance I had to advance the plot and it wasn't even one of yours? Mr. Holmes, you can bring your own blooming bags down.
Please, don't blame me for all this, Billy. Blame Watson. He was the scrivener.
And he wrote the bloody trot, too. I never had enough lines or meaningful dialogue to build me a one-man show to do in the provinces. All I had in all them books was a couple of lousy walk-ons. You, Dr. Watson, you can't even get your dates straight. You had me in the Valley of Fear in 1880. I wasn't even born yet.
I never heard of the Valley of Fear. Watson, is that a forgery?
No, my dear fellow, it hasn't been published yet.
But I read the rough draft.
You let him read the rough draft?
It's bad enough about me, but that scrubby cove what introduced you two chaps in the study in scarlet, he didn't have no first name. He's just plain young Stamford.
Young Stamford? Oh, yes, I remember. Well, I never found him interesting enough to bring him back into the series. You at least got a few stories out of it, Billy.
Watson never lets me read the rough drafts.
Oh, I still haven't gotten the few bob you were supposed to be paying me. Compared to me, King Lear is a music hall turn.
And now you've come here to help your great friend and benefactor start off on his well-deserved holiday.
Who's that?
Why, me, of course.
Dr. Watson, he don't listen to nobody, does he?
He left.
A clever deduction.
Watson, how come you never let me read your rough drafts?
I'll do better than that, Holmes. I'll let you help me write the final problem.
You will? Oh, goody, what do I have to do?
Well, you know when you were dressed as a fern?
Yes.
And you pushed Moriarty out his penthouse apartment?
Yes, yes.
And he fell to his death?
What are you driving at?
Would it be all right with you if I changed the locale from the penthouse to a high mountain cliff?
Whatever for?
For dramatic effect.
Well, all right.
Oh, thank you, Holmes. You may leave for your holiday.
But is that all? I thought I was going to help you write it.
You just did.
Is that all there is to it?
That's all.
This writing game is easier than I thought. It's almost as easy as the deduction game you taught me. Perhaps someday I'll be a writer.
I thought you wanted to be a beekeeper.
Oh, yes. Then I suppose I couldn't be both. I know. I'll write about bees.
Holmes, you mustn't keep Charles Baskerville waiting.
Oh, it's all right, Watson. Oh, Chuck doesn't know I'm coming. This is a surprise.
Yeah, nonetheless, here are your bags.
And my dear stalker?
Right here.
Pipes?
Here we go.
Shag?
Here.
Coat needles?
Here.
7% solution?
Yeah, now that's everything. Have a good, long rest. Goodbye. Is there anything else?
Yes, Watson. Would you mind opening the door? I don't seem to have a free hand.
Oh. Goodbye, Holmes. Have a nice holiday and don't forget to write.
Watson, dear, dear friend, companion, alter ego and Boswell, you took me in when I needed shelter, and I just wanted to say thanks. Dear Watson, having a wonderful time at the Moors. Devonshire is lovely at this time of the year. Wish you were here. Very truly yours, Mr. Sherlock Holmes. Oh, P.S. Charles Baskerville was murdered. I'm working on the case before I leave for Inja. Dear Watson, the Baskerville case is most complex. I'm not sure if I understand it myself. Something to do with the ghost of a hound dog in league with the devil. Personally, I don't believe in ghosts, but I did see it. A glowing dog. Can't explain it, can you, Sherlock Holmes?
Dear Holmes, don't worry about the glowing dog. It's not a ghost, dear fellow. He probably fell into a vat of phosphorescent paint. Either that or he was a figment of one of your drug-induced dreams. I can't answer any more letters. I'm very busy finishing your adventure. Just arrest Henry Baskerville for the murder. You never liked him anyway. Go off to India and leave me alone. Your humble friend and biographer, John H. Watson. Now, to finish my story. A few words may suffice to tell the little that remains. An examination by experts of that rocky cliff leaves little doubt that a personal contest between the two men, Holmes and Moriarty, ended, as it could hardly fail to end in such a situation, in their reeling over, locked in each other's arms.
Paddy! Paddy, your paper! Read all about it! Sherlock Holmes, dead! New manuscript from Dr. Watson reveals plummet of rocky cliff! Paddy! Paddy, your paper! Sherlock Holmes, dead!
Miss Adler, Miss Irene Adler, I'm from the London Times. Could you say a few words about the late Sherlock Holmes?
I'm too smitten with grief. Sherlock and I was almost a thing, you know.
How about Sherlock's relations with you, Miss Adler?
We never had no relations. He never had no relations with any girls. I used to say to Dr. Watson, Dr. Watson, what am I going to do about Shirley? He's not interested in me at all. And Watson used to say to me, stop calling him Shirley. That should help.
How wonderful and heartwarming. And you, Mrs. Hudson, what do you remember most about Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock Holmes was a queer old lad. He'd barge into my flat, sniff the kitchen, and deduce his dinner. It was food for thought, but he never ate any.
Isn't this wonderful and heartwarming, Dr. Watson?
It's quite heartwarming. Much more meaningful than wrapping a towel around your chest, I always say.
Name?
Sherlock Holmes.
Occupation?
Genius super sleuth.
Passport?
Here you are.
Sherlock Holmes. The Sherlock Holmes?
One and the same.
Grab him, boys!
Let me alone! Get your hands off my person, you person!
That's right. He won't be going any place now.
If you really wanted my autograph, you should have just asked for it.
As Bombay Customs Officer, I hereby arrest you in the name of the Queen.
But I've done nothing.
You call falsifying a passport, entering a state illegally, attempting to exit the same way, and impersonating a genius super sleuth nothing.
But I am Sherlock Holmes.
Everyone knows Sherlock Holmes is dead.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm not dead.
Who says you're not?
Why, everyone.
Don't believe everything you hear. If we were to take a poll on the subject, this crowd would vote for Barabbas. Don't you read the papers?
I find knowledge gets in the way of my deductive powers.
It says right here, in black and yellow.
Black and yellow?
Yeah, I spilled a pint on the front page. It says, Sherlock Holmes eulogized today. You're in a great deal of trouble, friend. Here, what's this in your luggage? A packet of... Yeah, cocaine-like solution. I'll keep that to myself. Okay, take him away, boys. You can't impersonate a hero, love the world over, and get away with it. What would my mother say? Oh, and thanks for the cocaine.
This is the best swill I've had all week.
What are you in for, friend?
Impersonating myself. What are you in for?
Oh, it's a long story.
I've got time.
You mean you're doing time? Well, I was out for a stroll the other day, and I was walking along, and I must have been preoccupied, because suddenly there loomed up in front of me this great beast, this great white beast. What it was the holy cow of India, the hopped ox. They go wherever they want, Nobody bothers them at all.
In London, they'd be made into meat pies in a second.
So there I was, confronted by this holy cow, and I said, "Holy cow, look what I am confronted with." So I give him a shove. Just like that, I give him a shove. I mean, what would you do if you were intimidated by the great beast?
Well,
you see, there's your answer right there. If you are telling the truth, oh my goodness, oh yes, yes indeed, you would have done what I have done, and you would have committed a crime, which is why they brought me before the tribunal. I was in big trouble.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in your shoes.
No, I don't wear shoes. Anyway, they said they were letting me off with a warning. They said only holy people, such as they were, could touch a sacred cow, or shove it as I had done. But as I was leaving the courtroom, I said to them, "You are all such holy men. Why don't you shove it?"
And so they locked you in here.
That's very clever. You deduced that yourself?
Deduction's my game. I really am Sherlock Holmes.
I've been following your exploits since I was knee-high to a mongoose. I particularly like the speckled band.
I haven't read it. Do I come across well?
Oh, yes, you come off as a master of detection.
Oh, good.
Isn't that Dr. Watson? He has got some imagination.
I do not wish to discuss it. What's your name?
Mohandas Gandhi. But you can call me Mahatma. Everybody does.
Mahatma?
Well, actually, nobody calls me that. Not yet. I hope to earn the title. This holy cow business was really no big deal, but it could hurt me. You see, I want to start a passive resistance movement to promote peace. I'm going to South Africa next week to get beat up. Then, when I come back here to India, I'll shave my head and everybody will follow me. So don't you tell anybody about me shoving that cow.
I don't understand.
Would you follow a peace movement started by a man who shoved a cow?
Ah, I see what you mean.
They're letting me out of here tomorrow. When do you get sprung?
I'll be in here forever. Unless
what?
We could switch clothes. I could leave as you.
But then how will I get out?
When they realize you're really you and I'm really me, but you're still here and I'm gone, and I'm not you, but me, and
I get the picture. Here, put on my dhoti.
Is that what that is? I thought you were wearing a diaper.
I'd punch you right in the nose. But I'm a pacifist.
And so, in 1894, 3 years after he left, on a four-month holiday, Mr. Sherlock Holmes returned to our lodgings at 221B Baker Street.
And this would be the illustrious sitting room of the illustrious consultant detective, the illustrious Sherlock Holmes. Step inside. Crowd around the fireplace. And please, drop your half crowns in the coin box.
What does she mean by would be, Lester?
How should I know, Hester?
I say would be because the illustrious Sherlock Holmes is no longer with us. May the good saints preserve him. The illustrious Sherlock Holmes was born in 1854 in the illustrious village of Sussex, the descendant of country squires, and the grandson of a sister of a third cousin of the illustrious French artist Vernet.
What does she mean by, he's no longer with us, Lester?
How should I know, Hester?
I say he's no longer with us because the illustrious Sherlock Holmes is dead. It was during the 2 years he spent in college
that... What does she mean by dead, Lester?
How should I know, Hester?
It was during his college years.
Well, you're the one who wanted to take this tour. I mean, I wanted to go to the changing of the guard, but you wanted to see where Sherlock Holmes lived.
During his 2 years at college.
We can see the changing of the guard tomorrow, Hester.
At college, he...
Tomorrow, we're going back to Brooklyn. When we first made this trip, you said we'd get to see the changing of the guard.
Don't bug me, Hester, or we'll go home today.
At college, Holmes decided to make a profession of his hobby, deduction.
I didn't even want to visit England. I wanted to spend our vacation in France. But no, we had to visit every bar or pub in London.
So what's wrong with a little culture?
And over here,
you
we
just
have a
like to drink. That's your problem, Lester.
Here's a very
that's
interesting...
That's it. Let's go.
Where are you going, Lester?
home today. And so are you, Hester.
Well, I don't think it's very polite to leave right in the middle of our tour.
Wait! What about my crowns? And here we have a wax statue of the late illustrious Sherlock Holmes. Careful attention was paid to every detail of this life-size masterpiece. It looks almost human. And over here we have another wax statue of Sherlock Holmes. I wonder how we were to be getting two wax dummies. Oh, this second one is a terrible likeness. Why, it doesn't look anything like him. The lips are all wrong. And the nose. Why, the nose is too small. And they've completely missed his lovely green pallor. Let me have a closer look.
Hello, Mrs. Hudson. I knew you'd be glad to see me.
Well, you're alive!
Why should you think otherwise?
Have you not read the papers?
I find reading gets in the way of thinking.
Well, you're dead!
No, I'm not. I have a slight headache, but I'm not dead.
That guy's not dead.
Yeah, what a jip. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's go back to Arkansas. At least when somebody dies there, they stay dead.
Don't go, please.
Who are all these people?
Wait, don't leave. I'll kill them for you, if you like. Wait, what about my half-crowns?
Your friends aren't very polite. Where's Watson?
Dr. Watson?
Yes, I wanted to surprise him by pretending to be a dummy.
Well, you've had a great deal of practice.
Why, thank you, Mrs. Hudson. Where is my humble biographer?
Right about now, he's most likely laughing all the way to the bank.
Did you tell him a joke?
No, but he certainly made one of you. Are you sure you're not dead?
Dressed in Gandhi's diaper.
Doughty.
Hmm?
I believe the term is doughty.
No, it was clean. Dressed in Gandhi's doughty, which looks very, very much like a diaper, I stowed away on...
The Matilda Briggs.
Yes. After a short journey to...
To the island of Sumatra.
Right again, during which it was necessary for me to...
Room with a pack of rats.
I was mistaken for...
Mohandas Gandhi.
I was then shipped off to...
South Africa.
Where I was promptly...
Beaten up.
In his place. Watson, how do you know all this? A series of calculated deductions?
No, Holmes, I know every move you've made since you left here 3 years ago.
You mean to say you were privy to the entire series of events?
Of course, old fellow. Who do you think set the whole thing up?
Watson, you...
Now, Holmes. I had to get you out of the way in order to publish the story of your death. We'd made quite a large sum at the bookstalls. The public ate it up. The final problem is now in its third printing.
Watson, you...
Oh, please, don't be too hard on me, dear fellow. Avarice is a weakness of mine. I simply couldn't resist the thought that the demise of the master logician, Sherlock Holmes, would boost my sagging book sales.
There are a few things that have been on my mind for years, Watson.
Oh, no.
For one thing, we never did have our little talk when you were still keeping your writing a secret from me. That was 10 years ago.
Six.
Whatever. Why didn't we have our little talk?
You never made an appointment.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten. Well, at any rate, I've been very quiet over the years. I've let you do most of the talking and writing. And now my trip abroad has given me distance from you. It has afforded me a chance to reflect upon our relationship, to put it in proper perspective. In short, Watson, I've grown. Watson, sit down.
Oh, dear.
Watson, 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 you've sold stories about me all over the world. For years you did it without my knowledge. You've raked in a great deal of money. You've padded my adventures with a long list of fabrications. You've continuously distorted the truth and then boasted about it. The leg wound you never received. The two fictional wives you never married were only part of the picture. You painted me in your memoirs in such a way my own mother wouldn't recognize me. And now, Watson, you dramatize, completely concoct my death out of thin air. I cannot believe that you have done all this, and I have never, not once have I ever, done anything to pay you back.
No, Holmes.
Yes, Watson. You've selflessly devoted your life to making my name a household word. You've given up your own identity for me. You've locked yourself away in these quarters for years, selflessly sweating away, goose quill in hand, in front of your fool's cap. You've put up with all my meager attempts at deduction and reasoning, not to mention my drug experiments and my deep fits of depression. You've made your life a living hell so that I can be immortal. Oh, Watson, my dear Boswell, you are a saint.
Holmes, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, dear friend. Here, take this box.
For me? Holmes, I really don't deserve this.
Go on, open it.
Oh, thank you, Holmes, for your forgiving nature.
Oh, a giant rat!
No, no, it's a pound of Sumatra cheese.
Holmes, trust me, it's a rat.
Oh dear. How did a rat get in there? He's eating the cheese.
He bit me.
Is there anything I can do?
Yes, take it away.
Now come along, Sinbad. That's the rat's name. I recognize him from my stay in Sumatra. You know, Sinbad, there's a sickly rat in the hotel down on the corner. Perhaps you could give blood.
No, you're a big fellow, aren't you? You'd make a fine pet. Mrs. Hudson doesn't allow any dogs, but she never said anything about rats. Rats like you are so very sweet. Oh, you want to go up my sleeve.
We're the Sinbad from Sumatra. It came upon us unintentionally. Oh, whether it was Holmes' bizarre idea of revenge, I shall never know. Either way, his preposterous prattle on the virtues of my person did succeed in doing one thing. It made me realize the true nature of our relationship. In point of fact, Holmes was using me as much as I was using him. Moreover, I had created him, and now I had to live with him. Well, when next we meet, I shall detail, or rather Holmes will detail, the adventure for which the world has, until now, not been prepared. The giant rat of Sumatra. I wasn't there at the time. I was in hospital, St. Bartholomew's. And that blasted rat had given me Cooley's disease, not to mention a severe case of fleas. The Cooley's disease is long gone, but I don't think I'll ever rid myself of the fleas.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of The Death of Mr. Sherlock Holmes, Episode 5 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Dr. Watson, you heard Henry J. Quinn. Sherlock Holmes was played by Vernon Morris. Mohandas Gandhi was portrayed by Gary Beery. Terry Price was heard as Billy the Page Boy and Irene Adler. Joseph Bevilacqua was heard as Hester and Lester. William Melillo was the prison guard. Jan Meredith played Mrs. Hudson and the newsboy. The newspaper interviewer was played by Vernon Morris. And the customs officer was portrayed by Joseph Catalano. Technical production was by Dan Finton and Thomas Babkowski. And sound effects were done by William Melillo. The Death of Mr. Sherlock Holmes was written, produced, and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua. With additional material by Dawes Butler. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, reminding you to tune in again next time for The Giant Rat of Sumatra, Episode 6 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Comedy O-Rama.
Waterlog Productions.
Audiorama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.